are about to hear Bob's Slacktime Funhouse is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
All right, listen up, you miserable ninnies. Have you got what it takes to dare to be slack?
Success Unlimited magazine proudly presents another in a continuing series of Success Unlimited magic cassettes, created and produced to help you change your life for the better. First, here's America's greatest motivator to share with you the wisdom, the principles, and the secrets of success he discovered and applied to amass and share with others a fortune in excess of $500 million.
Please be seated, because you're about to take a trip. A trip to a more successful living through better remembering. Yes, sit back and relax. We know how excited you are to build a powerful memory. That's better. You know, you're a very important person right now. That's right. You're what we call the two percenter. A person who believes enough in himself to want to better himself. How do we know? Because you've just made a wonderful investment in yourself. You've taken action. You've taken that giant step which will propel you towards a more successful life. And you're certainly to be congratulated for it. You have a built-in success machine located right between your ears. It's called your mind. Let's examine your success machine because it's the most powerful machine in the world.
The most powerful handgun in the world, and will blow your head clean off.
Dare to be great. Every person was born to be great. Born to be a king, the world is strewn. But very few people step up because they don't believe something great can happen to them. We're here today to tell you that something good can happen to you. The answer is in the next hour on this record. Listen closely and see if you can find the little spark that'll get you going.
Now's the best time in the world to succeed. When everybody else looks like the whole world's gonna blow up. Looks like everything's gonna fall apart. Looks like more marriages are ending in divorce. More young people are turning out wrong. More people are failing economically. Now's the time for your light to shine, boy. The light never looks as bright as when things look so dark. I never heard a successful message preached on success. We seem to leave this up to the world. To the Dale Carnegies. To the different people who write the books like Napoleon Hill. Down in Waco, Texas, there's an organization called SMI, Success Motivation Institute. Earl Nightingale has his success teacher. I'll buy anything that's offered with a record or a book that will help me be more successful. I'll just check the square and submit it to them. I've listened to everybody and their philosophies. I've read everything that's readable that I've been able to get my hands on to find out how to be a better success. 30 years of my life, I was grabbing for this and grabbing for that, trying to be successful. All this time, my wife was wanting me to be successful, but she didn't realize how important it was for her to succeed. And sometimes we merit success by things.
The fact that you're listening to this record proves you are interested in larger success. You want to fulfill your desires. You want to enjoy a fine standard of living. You want this life to deliver to you all the good things you deserve. Being interested in success is a wonderful quality.
Are you willing to open the door to your dreams?
Success!
Success!
Why do we want that success?
Money! Money!
How do we get that money?
Work!
No, no, not work.
Real estate!
Real estate!
Power through positive real estate. The PPR! The organization!
Do you have what it takes? Are you the kind of high-caliber, motivated professional that'll stop at nothing to get what you want? Who are you? Who are you? You are an incredibly powerful salesperson who continually climbs higher and higher up the ladder of success. Chant after me. I am an incredibly powerful salesperson
who continually climbs higher and higher up the ladder of success.
I am an incredibly powerful salesperson
who continually climbs higher and higher up the ladder of success.
Success!
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 Costa sure can give a speech, can't he?
Scotty's Mayor, Scotty's Mayor, you got those charms that you once prayed for. You got it made, you got it made, Mr. Successful, you got it made.
S-U-C-C-E-E-S, that's the way you spell success.
When we say about 5% achieve success, we have to define success. And here's the definition.
Success is a lady who confers no favors on a coward.
You'll live big in happiness. You'll live big in accomplishment. You'll live big in income. And you'll be big in friends. Success means many wonderful, positive things. Success means personal prosperity, a fine home, vacations, travel, new things, financial security. Success means giving your children the maximum advantages. Success means winning admiration, leadership, being looked up to by people in your business and social life. Success means freedom. Freedom from worry, fear, frustration, and failure. And perhaps most important of all, success means self-respect. Continually finding more real happiness and satisfaction from life. Being able to do more for those who depend on you. Success means winning. Success, or achievement, is the goal of life. Every human being wants success. Everybody wants the best this life can deliver. I have never known anyone who honestly enjoys crawling and living in the mud of mediocrity.
But you know that it's been found through research that there are more salesmen in America today who would honestly rather suffer the hardships of poverty and mediocrity than to suffer the hardships of success. You see, it's been proven that these hardships are not really any tougher, but they are significantly different. The hardships which you encounter in your seeking of success in professional selling. But the determining factor of your success as an individual is no external force in terms of blaming it on somebody else. The monkey is right where it belongs, and that's on your back, the salesman. Well, when we look at it in this particular perspective, I think we pretty well established the fact that we've got to pay some kind of price to be successful.
But in truth, success doesn't demand a price. Every step forward pays a dividend.
But to be successful in selling our way to the good life, we must be willing to pay the price. Now, what is that price?
Now, chant along with me.
I am an incredibly powerful salesperson who continually climbs higher and higher up the ladder of success. I am an incredibly powerful salesperson who continually climbs higher and higher up the ladder of success. I am an incredibly powerful salesperson who continually climbs higher and higher up the ladder of success.
Rung number 5. On your ladder of success, or to ring the bell, you must talk or confess or speak your dream or vision out, at least to yourself, and don't cast your pearls among swine.
This is the price you must pay for what you want. If you believe you can enrich yourself by deluding others, you can only end by deluding yourself. It may take some time, but just as surely as you breathe, you'll get back what you put out. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking you can avert this. It's impossible.
We're not going to give attention to the negative forces tonight. We're not going to give attention to the failures tonight. The failures are getting enough attention. They're creating enough stink. They're creating enough turmoil. Tonight, for these next few moments, we're going to hear success being preached to successful people that we might become more successful.
Success is not determined so much by the size of one's brain as it is by the size of one's thinking. This is indeed an intriguing thought, and it stayed with me. The more I observed, the more people I talked with, the deeper I dug into what's really behind success, the clearer was the answer. Case history after case history proved a person with an IQ of 100 will earn more money, more respect, and achieve more success than a negative, pessimistic, uncooperative individual with an IQ of 120. I've been close for many years to a person who qualifies as a genius. He has an unusually high abstract intelligence. But today, he has a very mediocre job. After all, he's afraid of responsibility. He's never married, because, as he reasons, lots of marriages end in divorce. He has few friends, because people bore him. He's never invested in property or stocks, because, well, the stock market might go down. This man uses his great brain power to prove why things won't work, rather than directing his mental power to searching for ways to succeed.
Yes, hello, this is Bob Dobbs of Nova Marketing. Is this the tale of the dog pet shop?
Yes, my name is Bob Dobbs. Congratulations, you're the grand prize winner. Congratulations, you're the grand prize winner.
Why does one person in five enjoy as much success as the other four people combined? I have worked most of my life to find the answer, and I have found it, and now I want to share it with you. Your destiny is outside your control,
that fate is in complete control. So forget those dreams. Forget that finer home. Forget that special college for the kid. Forget the good life. Be resigned. Lie down and wait to die.
Hello?
May I speak to the owner, please?
Speaking.
Hello, this is Bob Dobbs, Vice President of Marketing here at the Nova Corporation. Congratulations, you're the grand prize winner in a nationwide contest.
Oh, my God, I've never won anything.
Well, you have now. San Diego. Yes, you've been selected as the grand prize winner in a nationwide contest, and you've won either a trip to Hawaii, all expenses paid.
Hawaii?
Or a complete Mitsubishi home entertainment system worth $15,000.
Can I have the trip to Hawaii instead?
Well, it wouldn't be a contest, San Diego, if we told you which prize you'd won, would it?
Roger, we won some sort of a contest. So, what else?
Was there a key that would guarantee a person's becoming successful if he only knew about it and knew how to use it? Well, there is such a key, and I found it. Have you ever wondered why so many men work so hard and honestly without ever achieving anything in particular, and others don't seem to work hard and yet seem to get everything? They have the magic touch. You've heard them say that about someone. Everything he touches turns to gold. And have you ever noticed that a man who becomes successful tends to continue to become successful? And on the other hand, have you noticed how a man who is a failure tends to continue to fail?
I've got the will to fail. The will to fail. I have talents that I never use. I try to win, but I love to lose because I've got the will to fail.
If you understand completely what I'm going to tell you from this moment on, your life will never be the same again. You'll suddenly find that good luck just seems to be attracted to you. The things you want just seem to fall in line. And from now on, you won't have the problems, the worries, the gnawing lump of anxiety that perhaps you've experienced before. Doubt, fear, well, they'll be things of the past. Here's the key to success.
There's nothing more liberating than being able to pee and poop your own diaper. For the love of Bob. Yeah, yeah. Come on. Yeah, what's the matter with that?
It's disgusting. It's...
When little people try to drive you down, think big. To be sure, there are some people who want you to lose, to experience misfortune, to be reprimanded. But these people can't hurt you if you'll remember three things. First, you win when you refuse to fight petty people. Fighting little people reduces you to their size. So stay big. Second, expect to be sniped at. It's proof you're growing. And third...
The third root of stupidity is when you develop or allow to develop in your life a crippling softness. A crippling softness. When you lose the tough-mindedness necessary for success.
Someone once said, the human race is fixed, not to prevent the strong from winning, but to prevent the weak from losing. The American economy today can be likened to a convoy in time of war. The entire economy is slowed down to protect its weakest link, just as the convoy had to go at the speed that would permit its slowest vessel to remain in formation. That's why it's so easy to make a living today. It takes no particular brains or talent to make a living and support a family today. So we have a plateau of so-called security, if that's what a person's looking for. But we do have to decide how high above this plateau we want to aim for. Now let's get back to the strangest secret in the world.
What about Bob's five keys to success? I want you to listen to them closely.
Another great law of leadership is the law of flexible planning, flexible planning, flexible planning, flexible planning, flexible planning. This is the age of the planner, you know. Everybody ought to have a plan. Everybody ought to have a plan. You know, these guys are planning, 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 planning. The real key is not planning. Everybody plans. The secret of growing up and growing on is flexible planning. The guy says, what's flexible planning? What do you mean flexible? Well, flexible planning means this. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong. And flexible planning says, since I know that whatever can go wrong will go wrong, I plan on it going wrong. So when it goes wrong, that's my plan. Well, you say, well, what if something goes right? I can work it in. I was like the Texan who rushed in the airline terminal and says, give me a ticket, give me a ticket. She says, where to? He says, anywhere. I got business all over.
It's a great life, eh, Bob? And tomorrow will be even better for you and for all the people.
Fresh buying power floods into all the stores of every community. Prosperity greater than history has ever known.
Well, you better give us our share. We need money. We're not trash like you. We're not used to this life.
one of your goals must be to make money to guarantee the life you want. In other words, you have to profit from your work. Remember that word, profit. Success in making a profit calls for apology to no one. Make a profit on you by making the most of you.
Treat him with the respect, care, courtesy, and good humor he deserves. Remember, he pays all of your bills every month. He will buy everything you will ever own. He may be coarse, crude, ignorant, selfish, conniving, and a thoroughgoing savage. He often will be. Here it's more important than ever that you treat him with all the care and attention you can muster. If you don't, and if you permit his attitude to affect yours, you're admitting that he's the stronger person. If you respond the same way he conducts himself, you're admitting you're no better than he is.
And Ricky and I both would agree that Bob's not a nice person. But,
He is wonderfully successful. He has developed a fine staff of associates and has written many books and articles. They, in turn, have been reprinted and now have worldwide distribution. He is, therefore, that unique being, a salesman, an organizer, and a teacher. He is an outstanding personification of individuality who believes that each man is himself first. In addition to being unique because he is a salesman, organizer, and teacher, he also has an unusual clientele, which includes the great and near great from the world of finance and from the world of entertainment.
There's nothing better than a cigarette. Unless it's a cigarette lit with a $100 bill. Put $5,000 on the Lakers. Hire Kenny G to play for me in the elevator. My house is dirty. Buy me a clean one.
Is your accountant? I must warn you.
Did you send those 1,000 roses to B. Arthur's grave?
Yes, but she's still...
I don't want to hear the end of any sentences.
And we'll just tag them for the time being bank book preachers, all right? All they talk about is money or making vows or something like that. That is their religion. Okay? Bank book preachers, all right?
You see, Bob had a goal. Each week, he went down to the bank
and robbed it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you tonight that it does not take much of a man or even much of a woman to get out of life what she really wants. They don't have to be extremely well-educated, extremely attractive physically. They don't have to have a bubbling personality or any of these things, although we advise the development of any of these assets that we have. But the one person that is required, if we really want to get out of life what we really want, we have to have this little word called time control. Don't waste your most precious commodity. Have a schedule to save time. Have you ever looked at a man who is not a success and wondered why? He may not quite be a failure either, but most men who did not achieve success had no place to go and no idea of where they wanted to go. Do you have a plan for yourself? Where would you like to be 10 years from now? Would you like to be a sales manager? Would you like to have your own business? Would you like to be a sales consultant? Have you mapped out a program to achieve your kind of success? Are you letting every day, every precious day, slip by? Anyone can read a book or listen to a record. It takes that supreme you with the will to succeed to do something about it. Your will turns the key in the motor of your personality, and you hum with power. Develop an absorbing interest in what you're doing. Become like a blotter or a sponge and soak up everything in sight concerned with your work, and your curve of success will rise in direct proportion to this absorption as you yourself are pulled into what you're selling.
I'm not just sitting on my duff like some people I know.
What you don't seem to realize is that I am a real go-getter. There's no stopping this train, pal. Sorry, Bob. I'm on a collision course, a head-on collision course with the brick wall of success.
Think about it.
Woohoo!
And if our back should ever be against the wall, we'll be together, together, you and I.
Working hand in hand, and if we pull together, we'll enrich the earth, helping every man.
For united we stand, divided we fall, and if our back should ever be against the wall, we'll be together, together, you and I. For united we stand, divided we fall. And if our back should ever be against the wall, we'll be together, together, you and I.
We're proud to work with those who reach out their hand, as everyone should do. Elanco's helping hand is stretched across this land, helping me and you. For united we stand, divided we fall. And if our back should ever be against the wall, we'll be together, together, you and I.
Money to spend, and we want all the lovely smelling soaps, lotions, and glamour goo we can get with it. Our egos are best nourished by a well-placed investment in real luxury goods, what you might call discreetly conspicuous waste.
Greetings, humans. I am Investo the robot from the planet Opportuniac. My superior brain advises you to enter the franchise fair.
Well, we're trying to, but you're blocking our way.
Danger, danger. Don't forget to pick up pamphlets.
I'll handle this.
Help, help, help. Security code 30.
Well, that's the miracle of the franchise. You get all the equipment and know-how you need, plus a familiar brand name people trust. You'll be on a rocket ride to the moon. And while you're there, would you pick up some of that nice green moon money for me?
Let's talk about money. Each time it will become more a part of you until you'll wonder how you could ever have lived any other way. Live this new way, and the floodgates of abundance will open and pour over you more riches than you may have dreamed existed. Money? Yes, lots of it. But what's more important, you'll have peace. You'll be in that wonderful minority who lead calm, cheerful, successful lives. Start today. You have nothing to lose, but you have a life to win.
In regards to the new philosophy, since man cannot move in any direction without a thought, if we are going to discover how someone failed or what made him a success, we must turn to his thoughts and how he came by them. He was born with a few instincts, but everything learned has been from others. Therefore, this listening to others can cause his success or the lack of it. His thoughts direct certain emotional energy, causing movement that the movement did not produce. Next, his motion produces conditions that it does not direct. His failure or success did not direct his motion. It was his particular kind of thoughts and other people reacting to them that brought his end result.
You see, the average man is what we call a snob. That's spelled S-N-I-O-P. It means he's susceptible to the negative influence of other people.
Like the guy says, I live here, but it doesn't matter. I'm around these people, but they don't bother me. He's wrong. Everything matters. Everything. Don't ever forget it. Everything matters. Reminds me of the story of a little bird who's sitting on the ground with his right wing stretched out and it's kind of over one side of his head. And he's laying there crying. And an owl flies by and stops and says, little bird, why are you crying? The little bird moved his wing and the owl says, little bird, now I understand why you're crying. The crow picked your eye out. And the little bird says, I'm not crying because the crow picked my eye out. I'm crying because I let the crow pick my eye out. You've got to be very careful of the influences that you allow in your life. If you want to succeed, you got to be around success. Simple.
You are an important person, a rare individual, a unique creature. There has never been anyone just like you, and never will be.
You have talents and abilities no one else has.
In some ways, you're superior to any other living person. The power to do anything you can imagine
is within you.
Because I've got the will to fail. The will to fail. I secretly am enjoying myself, but slowly I'm destroying myself. I think I got a tiger by the tail. A tiger called the will to fail.
The opposite is the worst cycle there is. You fail. Your enthusiasm wanes. You work less. You fail. Your enthusiasm wanes. You work less. You fail. Failure breeds burn, baby, burn. Failure breeds hatred. It breeds frustration. Part of American democracy is the totality of success for everybody. We've got to help them. You won't have enthusiasm for a society or a country unless there is this feeling of success. And lastly, if you want to be enthusiastic, put God in your life. Put the power of the universe inside your soul. Now, I know what you're going to say. Great guns, Bob, how can you talk about God in this world of grime and grit and muscle and bone? How can you talk about this ethereal thing called God?
I taught people to get rich, and I felt that God wanted them to prosper. But as I studied the Bible, I realized that Christ had nothing really good to say about wealth.
Loser.
But yet 97% of the people in America and Canada today think failure, think negative, think those things which are contrary to what God plans for man to think. I've never met as many failure people and failure prospects as I meet across the states and across Canada today. But this is their problem, because most failure people don't know what success is, because they think they're successful when they're failing. I think the reason we got so many confused failures, we have confused people looking to other confused folks for advice. We got so many of the blind looking to the blind for leadership, they go fall in a ditch, and the ditch is so crowded, people think that's where it's at.
Oh, that was a problem. Did that solve the problem? No! Did they get out there and encourage each other? No! You know what they did? They got out there crying and groping around on each other's shoulders, and they both quit!
Here you have the trouble today. It's conformity. People acting like everyone else, without knowing why, without knowing where they're going. Now think of it.
That was when I heard the echo for the last time.
It was no more baseball forever.
And I finally had to admit the truth. This was the finish. I was sick, broke, out of work, and no chance of ever coming back. I was a complete failure.
It was wrong to have a dream. Wrong as usual. I mean, if you're nothing special, why kid yourself?
Oh, Mom, no.
Listen to your mother, kids. Aim low. Aim so low, no one will even care if you succeed. Dinner's in the oven. You want some butter? It's under my face.
Go deep into your study of people, and you'll discover that the unsuccessful people suffer a mind-deadening disease. We'll call this disease excusitis. Every failure has this disease in its advanced form, and most average people have at least a mild case of it. You'll discover that excusitis explains the difference between the person who is going places and the fellow who is barely holding his own. You will find that the more successful the individual, the less inclined he is to make excuses.
We can throw in what we like to refer to as intelligent ignorance.
Your mind is a thought factory. It's a busy factory producing countless thoughts in one day. Production in your thought factory is under the charge of two foremen, one of whom we'll call Mr. Triumph and the other Mr. Defeat. Now, Mr. Triumph is in charge of manufacturing good, positive thoughts. He specializes in producing reasons why you can, why you are qualified, why you will succeed. But the other foreman, Mr. Defeat, produces negative, depreciating thoughts. He is your expert in developing reasons why you can't, why you're weak, why you're inadequate. His specialty is the why you will fail chain of thoughts. Both Mr. Triumph and Mr. Defeat are intensely obedient. They snap to attention immediately. All you need do to signal either foreman is to give the slightest mental beck and call. If the signal is positive, Mr. Triumph will step forward and go to work. Likewise, a negative signal brings Mr. Defeat forward. Now, to see how these two foremen work, try this example.
Now, I'd like to give you this example, and frankly, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to seem a little silly. I want you to just open your minds to me, however. I want you to accept this example, and then I want you to make some observations as to what this principle is all about and how it can help you as an individual to achieve your goals. Now, to give you this example that I'd like for everybody in the room to participate in, I'd like to ask you at this time to reach down and grab the bottom part of the chair that you're now sitting on. Just grab the bottom part of the chair. Now, I would like for you to do two things. I would like for you to pull with your arms when I give you the word in an upward force. And I would like for you to push with the weight and strength of your body in a downward force. Would you do that at this time? Just have these two forces now acting against each other. Pull with your hands and push with your back. Okay, now I promise I won't ask any more physical exertion from any of you today. Now, what kind of observation can you draw from that simple example that at this point seems very silly?
Now, since making this test is difficult, some may say, well, why should I bother? Well, look at the alternative. No one wants to be a failure. No one really wants to be a mediocre individual. No one wants a life constantly filled with worry, fear, and frustration. Therefore, remember that you must reap that which you sow. If you sow negative thoughts, your life will be filled with negative things. If you sow positive thoughts, your life will be cheerful, successful, and positive.
I think what's happening in America and Canada today, we're developing a lot of money-making failures. I think they're successful because they've acquired things. If you please, ladies and gentlemen, some of the most unhappy, miserable people I know are the ones you think are successful because they're in the public eye. Now let me, for the next few moments, talk about success. You young people, listen especially. This is the reason so many young people are strung out today on drugs and other things, is because they see themselves failing. That's the reason many marry early. They think of the fact that they might not be secure in their future, so they grab a situation because they don't want to fail. They marry early, or they follow this group, or they follow that group, or they grab this deal, or that deal, or this hot opportunity. Let me tell you what success is.
That don't sound like...
Now, you thought I was going to say something complicated, didn't you? Here. You see the expression on some of these guys' faces? They thought I was going to say the magic word. Here it comes. Work. But now, wait a minute. Just a minute. You thought I said work. Now, I want to make a point. You thought I said work. Now, I know what you thought I said, Jerry. You thought I said work. You heard it. But, Jerry, I meant work. I said work, but, Jerry, I didn't mean the work you thought I said. I meant the work that I mean, not you mean. See that? Right away, I said work. He thinks work. Now, Jerry, if we're going to get anywhere tonight, you've got to quit confusing me.
Okay.
When I say work, think the work I mean, not the work you mean. See, a lot of people get mixed up on this work. You know, you go to some meetings and some guy will get up and say, show me a man who'll work and I'll show you a success. And I say, show me a man that'll say that and I'll show you an idiot. Well, you say, how dare you upset that old truth? What do you mean an old truth? That's an old lie. Listen, I used to work and work and work and work and work. I hardly ever had to show anything to a boy. I know some other fellows who hardly ever seem to work who had success and protection running out their ears. Don't you ever tell a guy that work isn't. But you know what I begin to do, Lily?
I lack brains. He is, in brief, a flop. He's a flop because he concentrated on the petty, trivial, relatively unimportant qualities of a good speaker and failed to concentrate on the big things that make a good speaker.
Although you enjoy the freedom of being an independent businesswoman, you also share the joys and the excitement of a team. At Mary Kay, you participate in the achievement of team goals, and you are recognized and praised with sincerity.
Now, I'll tell you one thing, friend. I don't like this special recognition. That don't mean damn thing to me. Please me, if you're going to be acting, you're going to be acting. You don't be supposed to be being no special recognition person. Now, if you're going to give me a plaque and you're going to say I'm an excellent award winner, then say that. Don't give me no excellent award winner. Don't let me be no excellent award winner. Then give me no plaque and it's there. Special recognition. What that sound like? That sound like
shit. Member of Mary Kay is.
You can call me Axel. You can call me Pierce. You can call me Spur. You can call me anything you want to call me concerned Axel, but don't call me no damn special recognition. That don't sound like shit.
Mary Kay is equal to the ambitions of women everywhere.
You can call me Axel and you can call me Spear, but don't call me no damn special recognition.
Bring in top quality people, for you know, water does seek its level.
Still, when the votes were told up, what a count she rolled up.
I was plaqued and scrolled up, yes, indeed.
As the girl most likely to succeed.
That don't sound like shit.
I'm a failure, I'm a splinter on a
I just can't stand it. No, it kills me, but it thrills me. It thrills me so bad, so bad. It makes me so bad. I am so bad. I am glad. I have to admit that I'm really I'm sorry to have her in my life. Smile, smile, smile.
Little town of Marion, South Carolina. His name is Glenn Turner. Glenn has what most people would consider some handicaps. He has a very severe hair lip. He has an eighth grade education. But Glenn doesn't look at him as handicaps. He looks at him simply as lemons, and he wants to make lemonade with him. And this year, this young man will earn well over $100,000. He's just intelligently ignorant enough to believe that he actually has the advantage by having those handicaps, and he uses them as such. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here today in Nashville, Tennessee, to introduce a voice to the world. And it's one that's not easily understood. For two reasons. He was born a hair lip in a charity ward in South Carolina. And he doesn't talk plain, so you'll have to pay close attention. And two, the majority of the listeners to this record have instant disbelief in themselves. If you're interested in success, if you have a burning desire, listen to him closely as he shares his background and knowledge with you. The chairman of the board of Conscott Interplanetary and the Dare to Be Great philosophy, Mr. Glenn W. Turner.
First time. I mean, never heard me speak before. Good, I'm a walk your mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, the first thing you have to learn to be great is you have to know the secret. And the secret of Dare to Be Great and my secret of success is I'm a user of LSD. The real drug. A drug that can really turn you on. You'll never have any depressed moments. You'll never have any bad feelings. It's called love, service, and dedication. You can get turned on with these three things. You need no false drugs, like you find pushed around the corners and in the dark alleys.
See, I was fortunate enough to have the gift of a hearing. And everybody looked at Glenn Turner saying, if a jerk like that can make it, anybody can make it. And that's an advantage. Because then they want to trade with me. They want to buy my courses. And they're right. Because if they can believe in themselves as much as I learned to believe in themselves, and it takes time, you don't do it overnight. I built my companies on the principles and the laws of the Bible. It says if you're doing the others, then you'd have them doing to you. Glenn Turner tried to be a success for 10 years in door-to-door sales and failed over and over again. I failed because I was interested in making Glenn Turner a new Cadillac. I was interested in getting Glenn Turner a new home and new furniture. When I started to teaching other people how to become a success, they in turn traded with me and bought my product, and the masses just started to flock into me, and they pushed me up to millions and millions and millions of dollars. It's as simple as that. Only those that have been brainwashed by society so deep and so hard that they won't bother to look a little longer is the ones we lose. We don't get many crooks in our business because they sit out there with that crooked programmer that's been put in their mind, and they figure out what the angle is. And they say, it sounds like a con man to me. He's not a saint. He's a con man. I am definitely not a saint, and I'm in no hurry to become one. I am a con man. I am most certainly the biggest con man you've ever laid eyes on, because I'm conning people into believing in themselves. Con means confidence in oneself. Confidence is a bullfighter who goes in the bull ring with mustard on his sword.
I wish I could read through this record, through this tape recorder. I wish I could lay my hand upon your head and do like Oral Roberts or Billy Graham and give you instant belief in yourself. Because in this modern day and age, we have instant coffee, instant tea, and instant disbelief. We've been literally brainwashed from childhood in believing in reading and writing and arithmetic. And we've been told over and over that 2 + 2 = 4, and it's a lie. No matter where you're at tonight, listen to the sound of my voice. You could be great. There's only one hang-up. You have to believe it. And that's the hard part. You haven't been taught to believe. You've been taught to disbelieve. You've been taught reading and writing and arithmetic, and you've been programmed. Your mind has been lost. At the age of 2 years old, a computer was replaced by your brain. Your brain was shoved into the back, and a computer came into the foreground, and you were told all the things that you had to do in life. Life's battles don't always go to the strongest or fastest man. But sooner or later, the man or woman who wins is a man or woman who first is brainwashed into thinking they can. And you're brainwashed one or two ways into believing you can do something with your lives in your chosen field, or you can't do something. If you're going to be brainwashed, why not be brainwashed the right way? The only difference in the Russians and Americans, as I see it, is the Russians have one employer and we have many.
3 years ago, people said this was a joke. People laughed at it because it did appear to be a joke. It can be done. Some jerk on the corner filling station is going to make it work where you couldn't. Why? Well, he's no smarter than you. He thinks he is. Isn't that crazy? The more education you get, the more you think somebody owes you something for nothing. You're getting slacking off, you're getting backslidden. Most of you that's listening to me right at this moment are not thinking with your brain. Your brain is about the size of a pinhead. You've lost it many years ago. It's back behind your left ear somewhere, under a bone that medical scientists don't have a name for, so therefore you don't know how to find it. And you know what's happened to your brain, the mass part of it? It's been taken over by friends and loved ones and relatives who mean well, who simply have lost their brain also, and other people take it over, and they're passing on the same information. You can't do it. It'll never work. Forget it. It's a lie, but that's what we've been taught. Your brain is used for one thing. I wish, I want to. Lord, I'd like to believe. That's all it ever does. So that's all the power it controls, is wishing and wanting and praying. I wish I could slice open your head, no matter where you are, one at a time. And I could take out your tape that's been programmed into believing you're only worth so much, or you only can have so much confidence. And if I could take over your mind for 30 days, and you do exactly like I told you, you could earn yourself 5, 10, 15, or 20, or even, you can't imagine how much you can earn.
Somebody say he's one of them dare to be great nuts. And then you'll see this doctor that's running around whistling every day. Oh, he's a happy jerk. 4 years ago, I listened to a record by another man saying, if I can only believe that. Oh, God, if I can only believe it can happen to me, I hear him. An 8th grade dropout.
I made it because I am what you call intelligently ignorant. I'm too stupid to figure out why it won't work. I've never been in the college. I've never even been in the 8th grade.
And when I started to believe it, I listened to it over and over again, and I read over and over again. And every time somebody told me it wouldn't work, I'd go back and I'd read those books, and I'd get my mind and get those negative thoughts out, and I finally clicked. is starting to happen. And when it came in such great wealth and such abundance that it was hard to carry it in the bank. And the people that once laughed at me, I'm laughing all the way to the bank. The only time you're failure is when you die and go to hell. It's unfair, but that's the way society is. 95% of the people are failures. They are failures because they listen to the other 95% who are also failures. You see, the little world will try to stop you when you dare to be great. And sometimes they mean well. Sometimes they love you, they're concerned, they're trying to protect you. But they really don't know any better. They simply don't even have the fact. How do you expect to convince a man in 30 minutes to believe in dare to be great, to believe in himself, when it took him all his life to foul up his mind the way it is and not believe he can do anything? The man tomorrow will ask you for a check. He'll ask you for 300, 700, 2,000, 5,000, or possibly even $5,500. Depends on what section of the country you're located in. It may take you a year. It may take you 2 weeks. Some do it in a day. It may take you the rest of your life, and you may be one of those 3 out of 4 that will never make a dime. And the reason you'll never make a dime is you don't believe you will. It's as simple as that. Because whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe it can achieve, the hardest thing about getting to the top of the ladder is getting from the crowd at the bottom.
Men Turner did not build Turner Enterprises or Dare to Be Great or any of the corporations such as Coscott Interplanetary. Glenn Turner built people. And I might slack up on that even. He simply taught people to bring out what they had in them.
I've enjoyed talking with you, and I look forward to the day when I meet you in public. And one thing I promise you, Glenn W. Turner will never, never, never give up. And nobody will ever stop us. And we're going to teach love throughout the world. God bless you, each and every one of you, wherever you're at. Thank you.
Mr. Glenn W. Turner. Mr. Glenn W. Turner. Mr. Glenn W. Turner. Come back, Mr. Turner. Take a bow. Take a bow. Mr. Glenn W. Turner.
Oh, ouch. Oh, I forgot that the first 3 letters of success are suck. Oh, but it's over now. I've turned it off, yes. Oh, and that better have worked on us all because of how it sure did hurt. But if you thought the best hour has been stultifying, you should have been with me on this Bataan death march over the past week. Me, Miss Negative, listening to album after album after tape of positive thinking, self-righteous, boring old conspiracy blowhards. Oh, and conspiracy is right. They're all part of a big con man network that rubs elbows with one another and sections out territories like fifth-rate mafia dons. And seeing their hideous faces on the album covers reminded me of those slimy, smarmy, overdressed Christian prosperity gangsters of the Trinity Broadcasting Network spectaculars. Oh, they're all cut out of the same cloth. What a bunch of glad-handing, treacherous crooks and thieves. Oh, and talk about no honor, especially among these motivational guys. Oh, these guys steal from each other like hyenas. Oh, I heard multiple swipes of the same catchphrases like, oh, the LSD one, and oh, intelligent ignorance. 4 guys used that one. And the horrifically optimistic up with P-Dogs tone of the whole thing has put me off spoken word records for a good long while. Optimism. Oh, I'm in the worst moment of my life, before the show tonight, that is, was when I found out that my blood type wasn't O negative as I had hoped, but B. Positive. Be positive. Ah. Oh, if I can be after this. Even jacking most of these ugly little numbers up to 45 RPM sure didn't help. Oh, it's hard to believe anything would help when you're dealing with obnoxious idiots like
the leprous record empire granddaddy of them all, Earl Nightingale, in his Lead the Field series. I scanned four of his mind-numbing albums. Frank Betjer, Bob Harrington, Bob Richards, Bob Tilton, the infernal triumvirate of Bobs. Oh, yeah, but Robert Tilton and his success in live shows been a big inspiration on our church for years. And then Dr. Kenneth C. Kettinger from the Discovery of the Mind record, and that guy who sounded the goofiest, you know, I mean, besides Glenn Turner, was Charles Mr. Tremendous Jones in his Homer Simpson-esque woos! Oh, and Glenn Turner. Oh, the felonious, hair-lipped con man who made no bones about being one. Oh, I didn't have the time to check and see if he'd resurface since the feds busted up his Dare to Be Great scam in the late 70s. Huh, after he absconded with millions of dollars, leaving behind thousands of pissed-off dupes. Oh, now that's what a highly motivated self-starter can do. Oh, I mean, who's gonna suspect a guy like Glenn Turner of grand larceny? Ah, Glenn clocked in with two albums tonight, Dare to Be Great and Glenn Turner Speaks. And hence the spotty sound quality of the edit there with these two different records. Oh, you gotta love the name of his companies. I mean, to call a makeup company Coscott Interplanetary? Oh, really? Hey, they didn't have a policy of saucers since Salvation, so what's the deal? Oh, his own company, Soundcott, pressed these albums, and while all the material used tonight across the board was of incredibly poor, totally cheap-ass quality, Glenn's records are the absolute nadir of penny-pinching corner cutting. Oh, they feel just like floppies. Oh, but that's not including these other albums and cassettes. The Memory Training Course, Mental Isometrics with Don Hudson, Personal Power Through Creative Selling by Elmer G. Letterman, Biscuits, Fleas, and Pump Handles by Zig Ziglar, The Magic of Thinking Big by Dr. David Schwartz, Ron Ball and His Art of Being Stupid. Hey, I swear I'm not kidding here. It's a 3-tape Christian living series, too. A Little From the Porch Lights On, But Nobody's Home by Al Kiranin. Dynamine, The Power to Succeed. Stress, Success, and the Type A Report Card by Dr. Lane A. Longfellow. And Questions of Influence, a tape by someone named Jim Agard, containing his nauseating and highly disturbing little bird with a pecked out eye success parable. Oh, and you may have just been confused, Seekers, but that Mary Kay training tape, punctuated with a drunk woman, that was one of my most stellar finds from about 5 years ago. Found it in a thrift store and thought, hey, the Mary Kay course could be good for a hoot. Oh, but when I got it home and put it in the tape deck, oh, an unidentified woman apparently took the Mary Kay course and only got a certificate of recognition. Oh, so she got good and drunk and disgruntled and tape recorded over the Mary Kay training tape just what she thought of that makeup-encrusted old douchebag scam. Oh, and I thank her for it. Man, I'll never be able to find magic like that again in this lifetime. Oh, yeah, and speaking of magic, there were little bits of Katie Lee's immortal subgenius hymn, The Will to Fail, which was peppered throughout the show tonight. As for almost complete album cuts, we heard the Jack Evans Trio from the Alanco stage production of United We Stand as a corporate motivational anthem from a farm supply trade show. And That thing that played a while ago, right before the Glenn Turner horror happened, was appropriately Horror Asparagus Stories by the Driving Stupid with that I'm a Failure acid rock thing from the comp Pebbles number 8. Oh, but I am lucid enough to realize that this is the Chico Hamilton Quintet ripping it up from the soundtrack of The Sweet Smell of Success. Appropriate, huh? Whew. Oh, I'm not sure if I like the way success smells, but maybe there is something behind all this positive thinking crap. Oh, yeah, be positive. Bob knows I try. It's been a tough uphill slog through the oppressive conspiracy mire, but X days it coming, seekers. Oh, and my steps get quicker as I glimpse the lights ahead, the Krypton lasers of the X's fleet. I can't lie to you, seekers. Bob does not always confer wealth on his most dedicated, self-sacrificing drones, as I can brutally attest. Oh, but somehow it just doesn't matter that much to me, because like one of Glenn Turner's rabid drones, I believe I'm gonna make it. It doesn't matter that I had to raid the change jar this morning to pay for the 5 cups of coffee it took to wake me up to face this show today. Alas, poverty is nothing new to Bob's flock. But with a bright, shining promise of otherworldly redemption, we can forget our woes, wrap ourselves in a frappy cloud of his pipe-scent love smoke, and hang on. And maybe, just maybe, there is something to this subgenius success bit. Because there's not much time left. Maybe we will clean up like bandits. So let's hedge our bets. You sure couldn't go wrong sending a fistful of filthy lucre to Bob at his palatial church headquarters just to tip the scales of the luck plane in your favor. Here's the address you need to get on the gravy train to Armageddon with a super salesman of slack himself. Got a pencil? That's Bob. P.O. Box 18147, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118. Oh, I'm sure there's hope. Because I believe it'd be just like Bob to make me rich beyond my wildest dreams right before the alien invasion fleet burns it right out of my clutching mitts.
Oh, just give the Greeter and Wash the happy ending and they'll oink for more every time.
On Cool 91.1.
Cool Greeter.
On 91.1.
91.1.
FM.
And as always, here's the part where I tuck you in.